This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
It's time to chat some bollocks about fanny tits and bum.
No topic is off limit for these potty mouth foul mums.
So tell us all your secrets, we like to share the truth.
About saggy tits and anal warts and ice cubes up your hoof.
No holes barred.
Hello.
Are you okay? How have you been in the depths
in the 3 seconds that it took me to make this coffee?
How have you been? God, Jesus, how have we coped this long without each other?
And I'm just telling Laura about my magnificent new coffee machine that I'm totally and utterly in love with. I am drinking a lot more coffee.
I'm going to challenge this idea, and that is it bad or is it something you need right now?
Yes, I believe it's something that I need right now for
sure.
There we go. I am having decaf.
Oh, how boring.
But you know me, right?
Yeah, I do. I know.
I can't even drink a caffeinated coffee. That's how sensitive my system
disposition
is. But so what happened? So we bought a coffee machine. It's one of the little that you put the pods in. Got a milk frother as well. Very fucking bougie. I'm here for it. I love it. So when you bought it on Friday, Rob made me a coffee Saturday morning before I was going to my workout class. And hadn't eaten any breakfast or anything. He gives me the coffee and I was just doing a bit of work on my computer and I get halfway through the coffee and I'm like, oh God. I'm starting to feel things
deep inside me.
I'm coming up.
Yeah.
And I say to him, drop the pill.
The pill's working.
It's working. And I say to Rob, I was like, Rob, this is decaf, isn't it? And he's like, no. I'm like, what do you mean? No. And he went, I've just given you a normal coffee. I went, you don't understand. This is not good. This is not a good situation for me to be in right now. So then I'm peaking. Oh, I finished the cup of coffee as well because I was like, I kind of quite liked it. But this is the problem with me with the coffee is that I like the initial buzz. I'm like, I feel so amazing. I feel so fantastic. But then it very quickly goes into now your body's having too much fun. And the heart rate, mate, sweet baby Jesus. I feel a lot of visions going. I'm not even joking. I feel like my vision starts to go weird. And I always feel like I'm going boss-eyed, like I'm crossing my eyes.
Please stop.
So, and then I started walking to my exercise class and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to shit myself. Something bad's going to happen. I can't, my heart was like in my mouth. I looked at my heart rate on my fucking watch and it was so high. And then we started doing the workout class and I was like, I think I might have to leave. I might have to leave in a minute. I didn't leave, but I genuinely was having an absolute breakdown in the class. And then we had a little like pause.
I feel like I'm going boss-eyed.
That's what happens to me. I cannot cope with the caffeine. It's too much.
This is the thing. Like, caffeine doesn't have any impact on me whatsoever.
Yeah,
so I could drink a coffee at nighttime and it does nothing to me.
Same for him. Yeah. I mean, he could drink like 6 coffees in a day. He'd be fine. I would literally have to be...
You'd be in an ambulance.
Yeah, I would.
You'd be lobotomized, like, mate.
Get rid of that frontal lobe, mate.
Shave her fucking hair off. Fucking have her rocking in the corner, dribble hanging out of her mouth.
Be like boss-eyed as well.
At the ultimate peak of your fucking caffeine high, they lobotomise me. You'd permanently be looking at your nose.
That's it. I couldn't. And then I just crashed after that and I was like, you're so strange. I can't have foreign substances in me anymore.
Other than your husband's penis. But then I guess even that can feel quite foreign at times.
It does. And that's why I have the immediate puff of fish minge whenever he comes near me.
The puff of fish minge.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, the plight of the penis.
I don't cope. I'm very sensitive. And then he was like, you're just like a little flower, aren't you? And I was like, yes, I am a little flower.
Now treat me like one, you bastard.
Also, I got so annoyed with him. So I was like, do you not even know your own wife? You know I can't drink caffeine. I don't even think he'd made the distinction that there was like decaffeinated pods and non-decaffeinated.
So. We had this discussion on Friday before we did the podcast record, didn't we, about the fact that I'm going to rag on Steve. So Friday, which will be Fridays ago to you by the time you listen to this podcast, but just stick with me, guys. Friday, I had had a bit of a chat with Steve about the fact that he just needs to think a bit more.
Yeah,
I think he's probably
there. Yeah,
just have a think before you do that, because you're a bit of a dick for doing it, or just, I don't know. I think what I'm hoping is that he'll be a little bit more female in his approach. I don't want him to have a pussy. I like him having a penis, but just have a more female approach to life, I think, is what I'm hoping for, which is irrational and not fair, and I fully understand that. But this is an example of Steve. So I get to the gym, and I sent Vic a message, a screenshot of, got to the gym. I'm on the cross trainer, and I get a message from him. He's taking the dogs out for a walk with Toby, by the way, just to put into context. The leads are in the car, and you've got the car. And I replied back, and I was like, oh, shit, are there any in the conservatory? Well, I found one. Right, okay. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I just replied back, and I went, I am not leaving the gym to come home and give you the leads. So
Just figure it out.
Did he figure it out,
by the way?
And he fucking figured it out without needing me. Like, I don't give a shit whether there is only one lead. Then take one dog.
Seriously.
He was going with our friends, and they were like, and like the husband, the other kid. So like, it was like a little, you know, outing thing. But I don't care.
Oh, no.
I don't care if I come back, Steve, and you only took one dog for the fucking walk.
Yeah, I don't care
that you only have one fucking lead. What do you want me to do? I don't
honestly
care.
I think
like,
it's
I don't
these
know
little,
any different ways to say it. Should I say it in fucking Spanish?
It's the micro situations of like, these little things that happen like this that you're just like, give me fucking strength.
I was on the cross trainer, and I had to fight every part of me to think I've got to get back in the car and go back and give him the lead.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, no, Laura.
I'm not doing that.
We don't need to do that. It is just the dogs, okay? If he had messaged me and said, oh my God, I've accidentally chopped off my finger, that would require me coming home. You know, there's been an incident, whatever, but the leads for the dogs?
Do you know, it's the finding of things, because all he needed to do in that situation was just look and find some other leaves. He didn't need to tell you about that.
No.
He didn't need to make any comment. He just needed to find some other leads. So why can't you just do that without
also
having to have a conversation with me about it? Because what's
I'm
he exactly
resourceful
going to say, mate?
As fuck. I'd take him out
in a dressing gown belt, mate. That's what I'd be doing.
Same. I would do the same thing. Like, to me, if I have something that I need to do, I will just...
Find a way to do it.
I will troubleshoot it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hang on a minute. I have three dogs and I have one lead. Now, I'm not great at maths, but I'm going to say one lead's not enough. So how can I find or resource another two?
They're useless. I know. I know. God. I'm sorry that we have to say these words out loud, but it is the truth.
It is.
And it makes our lives so much more difficult than it already is. God.
It really does.
All the shit that we talk about on here of us just being women and everything that we have to carry and all the shit that we're constantly trying to battle in terms of, you know, like our mental health, our body image, everything, being a mum, all the rest of it. And then on top of that,
I've got to worry about the dog leads.
Fucking asked where shit is 24/7. Yeah. And it's
but
just
then
like,
also, that's the thing that makes me laugh is like when you think about losing your temper over a little thing like that, women are classed as irrational. Like, all right, calm down. Fucking hell.
Yeah, but it's the tip of the iceberg,
like really
mate.
Negative connotations and language around women in this sense. So I think that's why we try and hide it. And that's why a lot you don't see people delivering that reality, because they know that it's kind of seen as negative.
Yeah.
That we're moaning about our life or that we're moaning about our partners. Like, he's a brilliant person. I fucking love him. I really do love him. And I wouldn't want to be with anybody else on this entire planet. But because I'm also fully aware of the fact this is not just a Steve thing. And he's actually really fucking brilliant in comparison to a lot of other men. It's not a hate issue.
You hear some stories of like friends and their partners and things
that they get up to.
And you just think, come on.
I know.
It does annoy me as well, because I feel like I want to shake the woman too. Same. And be like, mate, fucking be more assertive.
Absolutely. Just,
I mean, this is why my mum says that I'm a cold-hearted bitch, because she's like the old school, you know, of always being a bit more subservient and putting everyone else's needs before yours. That's just that philosophy of the boomers, isn't it?
Yeah, but also, like I said to Steve, I bet you wish you were with someone that just wasn't quite so... I've always been very, you know...
assertive.
Yeah. I know what I want, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not... Sorry, I'm just not accepting anything less than that.
It's actually upstairs right now with a migraine.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. He gets to go back to bed with a migraine. I just get to take tablets.
Oh, mate, fucking hell.
Oh, God, did I tell you about my awful migraine incident that I had a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, with the car, yeah.
Yeah, but then obviously...
But did you do it on podcast? You told me, but I can't remember if you talked about it on podcast.
It's not even about me calling that woman a cunt. I obviously have really lost my temper with her. Yeah. It's more the irrational response I had to it to Steve. Did I not tell you about what I did?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. I actually took the screen recordings and turned it into a reel and put it on
my... when you were, like, screaming, you were, like, proper crying.
I was like, I need you to go home. And then the medication kicked in. And I was like, I've ordered a McDonald's. I'm fine now. In that moment,
me and Mary laughed. I was like, that really does like sum you up, I think.
it really does. But like, the thing that also sums up our relationship and also sums up just the general being of Steve is he didn't actually get to the irrational message until the normal message had been sent after to say everything's fine.
Yeah.
So we're talking an hour. So if my finger had been cut off and I was trying to get hold of him,
what would have
I'd
happened?
Be dead.
Yeah.
I mean, you die from a lost finger.
No, but you know,
excessive
for dramatic purposes. Yeah.
For dramatic purposes. Yeah. I have very much learned as a woman to not rely upon him to be there for stuff.
I know, I'm sure this is terrible messaging to say to Edith, but I constantly say to her, do not ever rely on a man. That is the messaging that I put through to her.
But I think it's also because we were all brought up to believe we need to.
I know.
We don't. We're fine on our own.
Well, she's funny though, because she mimics what I say, because Oliver is just as bad as Rob at like at finding stuff. He cannot see anything. Mate. And she starts saying, Oliver, just use your eyes, which is what I say to Rob all the time.
I've become almost like sat-nav. My ability to be able to tell down to the finite location of an item, I can do it now.
But do you do this, right? And this is petty. So he will be like, oh, have you seen this thing? And I'll just say no, even though I know where it is.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. Yeah, I'm like, no, I haven't seen it. I know exactly where it is.
And I'm not going to tell you. Steve and I have been married 14 years, and I can honestly say in our 14-year marriage, I cannot tell you how many times he says he's lost his wedding ring, to the point where now he walks through the house and you go, can I have lost it? I don't know where the fuck I've put it. It's gone. I think it's fallen down the sink. And I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
You haven't.
Well, I never wear mine now, do I?
You're wasting my time.
I'm rejecting the patriarchy. I don't belong to no one.
Oh, have you removed it?
Well, I just don't really wear it. I never wear it. I'll only wear it if I
is
go out.
Is that why? Is that why?
No,
you
not
don't
really.
Wear it?
It's because it's more like...
It's like, wow, that's deep.
No. It's because I'm very forgetful and I forget to put it back on. But also, it's like a sensory thing. I don't like having it on all the time. I just...
Whereas I'm like Phoebe from Friends. I've got 1,200 rings on my fingers.
You're like Rob circa 2009.
I am Rob circa 2009.
I sent you a photo of Rob in the band, didn't I?
To be fair, it took me a hot minute to work out which one he was, because they were varying degrees
horrendous.
Of Rob.
Yeah, yeah,
varying degrees of Rob is what that's what the band should have been called.
The varying degrees of
the
Rob.
Varying degrees
that's
of Rob.
So he had how can you explain his fringe? It was like someone had just put a hand over his forehead.
It was
like
very spiked.
A spread out hand. It just had like five distinct spikes of hair.
I remember when that was
flat on his forehead as well.
Style.
Yeah.
And he has had a lot, hasn't he?
He had shades on, didn't he? No one else was wearing shades, just Rob.
But I feel like that's a very Rob thing.
It's such a Rob thing. He's always got his shades on. I'm like, hey, you're not in the band now. That's what I always say to him.
Not in the band now. Get your fucking beanie off, you prick.
Get those bloody Ray-Bans and that beanie off. You're not in the band now. Hilarious was probably making me laugh. But I did find, because I've just, we're emptying our loft out. Because it's getting...
We haven't started yet.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Awful.
Yeah, so we've been sorting through all that shit, but we've hired some... storage space, so it's just going there. Like, it's not like staying in the house for the duration of the work.
No.
They're doing the loft, but anyway, so I've been just going through stuff and like, oh, he was so sweet. He used to write me he does still write very, very gorgeous cards and things like that, you know, but not randomly. It'll be for an occasion, but he used to just randomly write them to me, especially when he worked shifts, because we'd often like miss each other.
Oh,
I know. And so I found all of those and was just reading them, and I was like, oh, he's so sweet.
Now I'm gonna put them in the bin.
Yeah, I'm burning these. But next time he asks me, where are the scissors? I'll be like, just think of all the love notes that he wrote me.
Think of the reason why I married him. No, I don't know where it is.
Oh, sorry. I'm still saying no.
I don't know why I said West Country. I've kept all of that sort of stuff. And I've now reached a point where I don't really want to keep it anymore. Because
why? What, from Steve?
Yeah, like if it's a card... So, like, all of our love letters to each other, they're up there somewhere. So are the horrifically disgusting Polaroids of each other that we have.
Excellent.
They'll be up there somewhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I've, like, reached a point where I don't want... It's not that I don't want to. I don't feel the need to keep as much... I used to be a memory slag. Like, I
really? Can't.
Oh, it was a fucking
nightmare. I'm not like that. For me, if it's written down as in like it's a poignant message directly to me, I've kept it. But anything else, like, not really. Like birthday cards and shit. If you know what, actually, this is my rag.
Yeah, go on, rag it.
This is a rag session. I absolutely do not see the point in sending a card for any occasion, birthday, Christmas, whatever, if you're just going to write to Barry.
Love,
Victoria. Fuck off. Waste of time. Waste of paper. You're ruining the environment for what? To send me something that you could have put in a text message. Absolutely. Do one. I hate it.
Yeah. I stopped giving birthday cards. I've actually stopped.
Have you?
No, I don't really send it. Nieces and nephews, I don't do it.
No, I don't really do them. I'll do them for family. And that's it. If it's like a big one, I would do it. Like for your 40th. I'm going to write you a card. But what are you doing for your 40th, by the way?
I don't know.
We need to just put it out there, people, that I've not been included in any plans so far. So
I don't think anybody has, if that makes
you
feel better.
Okay, all right, good. I was just saying, if this was like some sort of surprise situation, surprise, I'm not going to be there.
No, I don't know that I'm even going to be there yet.
Okay, cool.
I don't know.
All right, that's all right then. Because it's really soon, though.
Yeah, a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5th of April. But, yeah. This is the thing with Steve and I. We hand over to each other and relinquish all control, which is easy for Steve, but obviously for me, not so much. So like when it comes to birthdays and stuff and people go, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know, because he does it. And then it's the same, like I'll sort his birthday. And yeah, it's like the only time of the year that you ever thought.
But also I'm like, well, you're definitely going to be having something in Portsmouth. So I need to know what's going on so I can make sure that
I don't think
you're doing anything.
Nothing like that. No, no.
Well, we need to do something.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been told the Easter weekend to keep that free.
Okay, all right.
But I've also been told that I'm not staying here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, nice. So maybe you go away to a nice hotel or something.
We will be with the children, but yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah. That ruins it.
I mean, yeah. So I'll actually be physically here on my birthday, but... yeah, for the weekend before, I believe. I don't know. But this is the thing. I really love surprises. I fucking love them. So I never like to ruin them. So I never like to surmise or...
you don't want to like pry too much because you don't want too much information.
No, because then it ruins it.
Yeah, you just want just the thing to happen.
Yeah. So I think it will be very much just like a us thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then I have thought about like, do I want to do something with my friends where... I get everybody together. I don't know. I've not really thought about it.
No.
It feels weird. It feels like one of those things. I know it's ridiculous because obviously it's all my friends. You go, but what if nobody shows up?
Yeah. I definitely will show up. So I'll be there. But I think we should go and do a spa night somewhere.
Well, yeah, because we didn't do your 40th. We were
no, exactly.
COVID, wasn't it? No, it wasn't COVID. It was last year.
My dad was dying.
Yeah, that was it. I knew there was a significant thing.
There was something,
thing.
Yeah. No, so I've definitely, this year, gift. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything for it. We literally just...
I remember there being a reason why you didn't celebrate, and it was Rob's that was in COVID.
Rob's was in COVID the year before, yeah. He's just had his, which, yeah, was nice. But we're going on our sex trip, aren't we?
Yeah. Where you get to have sex once and you manage to pass out.
And then I'll be walking around bloody Portugal with like a massive fanny.
But what will you be able to eat? You'll be able to eat those pasta dinata.
Yes, please. Get away.
Pasta fucking dinata.
Oh, I can't wait for that. Oh,
every time I see them in Lidl, I laugh.
Yeah.
Because I see them as a custard tart and then I just see pasta dinata and I immediately think of you. Fucking.
They are my fave. I haven't had them for ages, actually. I feel like I need to eat one. But I can't wait.
In Lidl for £1.50.
Yeah, and they're really nice in Lidl. They're good. Okay. I've had them many times, mate. But I haven't been to Lidl for ages because I've just stopped going to shops in person, which sounds so weird. But our LD in Lidl
I'm just too big to go to shops. It is, yeah.
It's too far away for us. So it's like, it's a 20-minute drive there. That's 40 fucking minutes. So we just do it online and it's much easier. And also,
Once you move out of London and you get to move into a more like designated area where there's just local shops and stuff, your world's going to be fucking blown.
Well, yeah, because honestly, the high street, there's a high street very close to me. I will point that out, but you are taking your own life into your own hands by going up there. Laura's walked down it. I agree, imagine that. Yeah. I'd be like, come and visit me in London.
Now I just go, I'm going to get an Uber from there.
This is the tube. And then she gets there and it's like, I'm going to die.
It wasn't that bad.
It's got worse, mate. Every time I walk up there, it's a reminder why I'm leaving. Let's just put it that way.
I think that any city, it's just that, but London is the ultimate, isn't it? It's the fucking capital city. So you're really, like you say, you're in your own little, London is a very unique place.
It's like suburbs. It's the suburbs, essentially, because it's not like a main part of London or anything like that. But equally, it's still like the ghetto vibes of
But
of
I know
London.
So many people that have lived in London and they've never been able to stick at it and then gone, oh, I just need to get back out into like...
Just something
that's not quite so enclosed.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely amazing place to live as like a 20-year-old. Great. And it's been great with, you know, we've done lots with the kids and stuff, but equally... I've had enough, mate. I've just had enough. Getting too old for it. I just want to be able to go to the beach really easily and, you know, have a little mooch down to a nice little high street and get coffee, that kind of shit. I just want to be middle-aged, mate. That's what I want to be.
Being near the beach is the best.
And just languish in it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that because I'm 40 years old and I've lived in, I would say...
I'm
nearly 41. Oh, my God. Don't even say that.
Steve will be 42 this year, don't worry.
Oh,
how old? Rob's 42.
Yeah, he is...
He was born in 1982, wasn't he?
81.
So he's 43.
Yeah, he's just
turned 43. Why are we talking about this?
Yes, I don't know. Should we have a story? Jesus, yeah, come on. Let's get on with it.
Okay, I've got a story. I've got a tummy bug story. This poor bitch. I was once suffering a horrific stomach bug. And when I say it was coming out about both ends like the Exorcist, I needn't say any more. 10 fucking days, I endured the agony of chewing and shitting water multiple times a day. Ugh. On the 11th day, I'd had enough of being stuck in. I felt absolutely fine, no vomiting, no crapping my pants. So obviously, the best thing I could think to do is drive 40 minutes from home to a beach with no toilets. What happened next, I will never forget. We were walking through a little woodland next to the beach, and there it is. I can feel it. I can't stop it coming out. And no, it wasn't vomit. I was quickly instructed by my two children and my partner. I had two on lookout and one gathering leaves to wipe.
Leaves.
I pulled down my pants and out blew the muckiest looking chicken madras shite from my arsehole. Oh, it was absolutely horrific. I was so lucky to have not been caught. I guess it all happened so fast. Needless to say, I have never walked that path ever again.
Oh, mate.
I've never been able to live it down with my family. Thanks for reading.
That's such a nice little family day out. Come on, guys. Let's go and watch mum do explosive diarrhea on the beach.
You talk about childhood trauma. Locked in, that one. That one's locked in. Watching madras fall out of your fucking mum's arsehole right next to a beach. Those kids are never going to enjoy the seaside again,
I mean, yeah, it's never happened that I've needed a poo while I've been with the kids, but I always do a forest wee.
And, oh yeah, wees are common, but I've never shit.
They were like, when the last time that I did a wee, they chased after me and like came and found me and they were just shouting, "Mummy, we can see your vagina!" Just saying that. And you're like, shut up. When we were in Epping Forest, which is like, yeah, there's a lot of people around in Epping Forest. Someone would have heard that on their little dog walk, just,
"Mummy, put your vagina away!"
Such little shits. And then you're like, the more you're like, shh, no, stop it, the more they shout it, because they just absolutely pick up on your fear.
Yeah, they do.
And they just
breed off of fear, children.
They absolutely
they smell it.
As soon as they get with fear, that's it. It just accelerates them being absolute fucking twats.
But yeah, I've never shit. I mean, I've been close to shitting myself so many times. I've even contemplated putting it over the side of the road and shitting, but it's never been that bad. But I can fully appreciate the
fear.
Or the gripe as well.
The thing is, when you're sick like that, you can't fucking control it. Like,
I don't even know what I'd do if I had the neurovirus that bad.
I can remember having it... The worst time I've ever had it was when I lived in my old flat, where obviously pre-kids, but it was so bad that I had to like make a bed on the floor and be next to the toilet. And I was just there for like two days and it was absolutely horrific. Like, you know, it just wipes you out. And I must have lost probably about 2 stone in a day.
I'm telling you now, Vic.
That's not possible. I know that.
No. That can't happen to me, I'm afraid.
What? Oh, because why?
Because I'm, well, I
you
just...
You can't cope.
No.
You don't like the sick, do you?
I don't like the sick, but more to the point, I don't like being ill. I know nobody likes being ill, but I really actually have a fucking problem with it.
Yeah, because it's your medical, what's it, like your... I can't,
Which psychiatric disorder are we referring to?
There's so many to choose from.
My sick phobia. It's not even my...
What's it called? Has it got a name?
Probably. I just call it phobia of sick.
I
just don't like getting ill. As in, like, if I start to feel like a sore throat or something, I will just go straight to the Cocodamol. People are like, fuck, really? Does that knock you out? I'm like, no.
That's pretty fucking hardcore.
I will. 2 Cocodamol, bosh that back. I'm not fucking around.
So even when you have like a cold or something, you can't cope?
If I start to feel achy, then I'm like, fuck, this shit can't sink. This shit really? Can't sink.
This
I mean,
this shit
can't
sink.
But yeah, so I'll load up on something so that I don't feel it.
Well, look,
numbing the pain.
I've been fighting my kids' cold. I've been fighting that off. I keep waking up every morning. I'm like, "Henny, I get a freaking sore throat." But it's been all right so far. They've got these horrific coughs, which I've talked about with
onion
the onion.
Onion.
But oh yeah, that's correct. You did tell me about it. Now it's all coming back to me. Yes, I remember.
Chicken batch.
But yeah, I haven't had it other than the little sore throat. But yeah, I do get the fear. Whenever they get ill, because it's just like, I can't deal with this right now. I think my fear probably stems more from the fact that they might have to have time off school.
Yeah, that's a big fear of mine.
Do you know what I mean?
Although I say this, and Elliot had his braces fitted last week.
Oh,
and
yes.
Poor love. God love him. You know, did you have braces?
I never had them, no.
You're very lucky. So you've naturally straight teeth, but obviously, you know, he doesn't. I don't know how to put it, but he just needs a brace basically. And yeah, so he went on Thursday and then sort of Thursday evening he was like, "This is so painful."
Oh,
and I was like,
him.
"I know, mate." I said, it initially it's really bad, but then it will get better. And I just looked at him just looking so dejected by life and thinking, I've been missold this dream.
Oh, bless him.
And I was like, "Mate, you're not going to school tomorrow." And I mean, what better words do you need to hear from your parents' mouth than you're
the
not
dream.
Going to school? It is the dream. When
absolute
you don't even
dream.
Have to put it on and they go, "Don't worry about it. You don't have to go to school." So he stayed at home with me on Friday, and it was quite nice, actually. I think, you know, give or take, teenagers can be complicated, but there is also some niceness to it.
Well, it's just easy, isn't it? If they're home, it's not like you're not like having to do the same level of monitoring, no. babysitting, and
I
all
ain't parenting
of
to the same level anymore to a 13-year-old.
Not at all.
As I am my 8-year-old that falls in puddles in the sea.
So me and Rob are going out on Thursday night, and we're getting a paid babysitter for the first time ever.
Oh, you're going to love it. I mean, this is it now.
Changes your life.
It does. It does.
Yeah. So she's one of the nursery staff from both of their old nurseries. So she
so
knows
perfect.
Them.
Perfect.
And she's absolutely lush. I love her. Joe, funny story of her. I think she's leaving the nursery now. But anyway, we had a meeting with nursery about Oliver years ago. This is when we were on the Zoom, and it was when me and you had like renamed ourselves, and mine was Saggy Tits, and
that's
came
right.
onto the meeting, and her and the other girl that was like doing the bit, they were pissing themselves off, and I was like, why are they laughing? They're like, oh, I'm really sorry, we've just seen your username.
Because I, if you remember rightly, that I signed Toby in a slag
that's
to his
it.
Work classroom. Yeah. And then that got around the school, and then the head teacher said she didn't know who she was following me deep in life. She didn't realise that was me until I posted about the story of the whole slag thing.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Look at us, what excellent parents we are.
And I know, and now I've changed mine to Laura Belbin.
Yeah, good. Sensible, yeah. Sensible.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I couldn't change it for ages because I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to, I don't know how to change this. And I had loads of professional meetings, but she's like, Saggy Tits has entered the room. You're not wrong. Oh, we've got a little fact here.
Oh,
we've got a did you know, because following on from the episode that we had a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the Wales Willy when they went to the Penis Museum.
Yes.
And we were sort of a little bit underwhelmed by the girth and the length of the Wild Willy.
Yes.
Were we underwhelmed? Either way, we were talking about animals, willies.
We were very unsure about how we felt about a pickle jar of penis.
That's true. Yeah, we did, didn't we? Especially when I love pickles. Really put me off the whole sort of the whole sort of experience.
It's really disconcerting.
So we've got, yeah, so here we go. Follow on from Whale Willie. Hello, Slags. Just listened to the Whale Willie pod. Love that. And thought you might want to know. I love this. I thought that you might want to know this amazing fact. The tapir. Did I say that word?
Tapir.
Tapir. The tapir penis, who has one of the biggest knobs. I just love the language. This is when you go to a zoo. And here is the tapir with one of the biggest knobs of the animal. It's around 60% of the length of its body.
I'm Googling what? That.
Oh, my gosh. It's also prehensile, which means the tapir can move and control it like another limb.
So it's like a remote control car.
You can shake hands with you.
Hello, how do you do? May I insert?
And what I love about this is that they have sent us a YouTube.
Holy fuck! Oh
yeah,
my
mate, it's
god!
Absolutely massive. They sent us a YouTube ridiculous. Video of a tapir giving another tapir a scratch on the back with its willy. We can share. We'll share this because this is the sort of content that No Holds Barred needs. Get lost, mate. Oh, yeah. You need to watch this. It's Laura. I've never seen anything like it.
I don't know. I think I'm
sending it to you and you need to watch it. No, it's absolutely hysterical. If I saw that in a zoo in real time, I would.
Oh my God, that's the one that I literally just Googled and I didn't think it was actually its penis. It was a picture of it. I thought that must be a branch.
It's like it's got a mind of its own. It's doing the fucking conga, mate, that thing. Look at it. It's like a comedy
snake. It's
got a
nose on it and it's going, there is vagina this way. Go this way.
That's why it's sniffing it out.
This is where the pussy is. Holy shit.
It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. Go and Google it. Everyone's got to Google it. We'll share that to our Instagram. That needs to be seen by the world. Who knew that the tapir, the little dark horse that it is. What is a tapir? Like, what sort of animal is it? A pig?
A tapir? I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it not a class of its own kind?
Maybe.
It doesn't look like a pig, but it's like a horse. But almost it's like a moose.
A horse pig.
A horse pig moose.
The this is what it's like going to the zoo with me, basically. They're like, what is that? I'm like, I don't fucking know, mate. What does it look like? I've never seen it. What's it called?
Well, if you've ever seen a tapir, you're going to know it now.
Mate, I'm going to wait by the tapir enclosure and wait for it to get a boner, basically.
Get your tit out, see what it does. Show him a bit of areola.
That's turning on nobody, okay.
Go with his shirt undone. That might
do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put a ring on every finger. That kind of thing.
Put
a ring on every finger. Oh dear.
Wow. I don't even know what to say after that.
It's just beautiful. Mother Nature. Absolute. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Doesn't it make you hate men a little bit?
Well, because they don't have like a puppet sock penis.
No, but it's just like
your
just
whole
the sheer arrogance
show.
Of a tapir to just think that they have a right to be able to then move it.
Okay, she's taken the man fashion too far.
It actually looked like an elephant's trunk.
Yeah, it did. Looking for a peanut. Yeah, it did. It had like the weird like pincer thing. That's what it looked like on the end.
Yeah. Imagine being a female
taking
that.
No, thanks.
It would come out of her fucking mouth.
Yeah, because they're not even that
big.
You
must literally turn her into a puppet.
So her, if it's 60% of their body, then her fanny must be 60% of her body on the inside. Because that's kind of how it works, is it? I don't like.
Does that mean that she, like...
How far is that for the baby to come out of it of her
womb?
I know.
Does it mean that, like, her womb is in her lungs?
Yeah, pretty much. I'd say so. Unless it does a curly-whirly or something. It's
it
like
must
an
do
intestine.
The curly-whirly. I mean, yeah. Imagine if it thrushes her from one side to the other.
There's so many questions.
I can't understand the evolution of going, this is a great idea. Let's make this have its own mind.
I know, exactly. Maybe it's got a brain in its balls. Really tiny one. Who knows? These are all questions that you guys can answer for us.
Yeah. Do you know much about tapirs? If so, get in touch.
Specifically, tapir genitalia. Oh my God, beautiful, love that. Have you got a story?
I've got a revenge story, but I've got to say it now, I haven't read it. I've just seen revenge story and immediately my eyes have pricked with excitement over it.
Okay, go on then.
Obviously this will need to be kept anonymous, but I have a short story on gross revenge for you. I'm not even embarrassed if I'm honest. Let's just remember I've not read this yet.
Okay.
This was a few years ago now. First husband turned out to be a bit of a thunder cunt. He'd had an affair whilst also trying for children with me. What a prick. I found out about the affair with an anonymous letter through the post.
Oh,
I write anonymous because it was definitely from her and told me how he had been having a loving and committed relationship with Miss Jizkish. It says Jizkish. Yeah, wow.
Okay, Jizkish.
Jizkish, I like
she
that.
She made that up, though.
What a brilliant fucking insult, you fucking Jizkish. Anyway, obviously, that's not her real name.
No.
Anyway, they were having this affair for over a year. After a brief conversation with my now ex-husband, I told him to leave and not come back. Anywho, after some back and forth with him telling me he never wanted our relationship to end and me telling him he had a funny way of showing it, he got the message that his dicking about had meant the end for us. I was keeping the house because I could afford it and he couldn't. This meant that he wouldn't be able to collect some of his shit, including his hideously shitty saucepans his mother had given him after that he never wanted to get rid of. That evening, before he was due to collect his stuff, my period started, which meant I needed to clean and sterilise my moon cup before putting everything away. And... don't you know? Remember that there is a perfect little saucepan for the use of such job. So I used the shitty little saucepan to clean and boil my moon cup. I then tipped the water out and let the saucepan air dry before putting it back as if nothing had happened. Then when he came the next day, the saucepan was gone. The end. To add, at the time, it felt like the worst thing in the world. But once I started to build my life back, divorce came became very liberating. And I'm now remarried and happier than I ever was. Oh, that's not that bad.
I don't think that's bad at all, mate.
That's nothing. Mate,
I'm doing that with my makeup and my own bloody. Yeah, exactly. And giving it to my kids.
Yeah. Then I'll do all their eggs and give them for lunch.
I mean, granted, I did give nothing. It a wash in between. But I think that's okay.
I thought she was going to say she wiped shit in it or something. That would have been better. She fingered a bumhole and then wiped it around the rim.
Or something. But that's
We've got to go deeper depravity than that.
Yeah, that's acceptable behaviour. Also, yeah. That's what most of us are doing if you've got a moon cup.
Yeah.
You're doing that as standard, aren't you?
Saving the planet one moon cup at a time. I'll be honest with you. I've been looking at my plants and trying to not think about...
The menstrual blood, really.
The menstrual blood, yeah. But I
might try it. I spent a lot of money.
It was the lemon tree that threw me.
Yeah, I know. I did. I think I spent about 25 quid on one houseplant, which is, I think that's a lot of money.
This is where I'm at. I'm thinking of that houseplant.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I don't want to fuck it up.
Oh, God, it's starting to go a bit yellow on the leaves and I just don't really know what I'm doing.
It's
on the turn of dying, mate.
I've bought it a special light that's always on with the sticks where the light's on it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know I think I need to move mine into the sunlight, yeah.
Yeah, and then I've got another one up in the bathroom and that's the one I'm a little bit concerned. I mean, fuck me, where did our life become this? But I've never been able to keep plants and I've really got into having lots and lots of plants in my house, which I've never had before because I love them all.
Yeah.
But I love it because I just think it's great for my mental health and it's probably doing nothing. But
no, it is. And it's also good for your home. Like to have plants in your home is beneficial because, you know, it's what they do to the quality of the air and all the rest of it. So it's always an excellent idea to have houseplants. And that's why I always justify my ridiculous number of purchases of them. So I'm like, it's good for the environment. It's good for my mental health.
Well, I've actually started doing it where... If one gets too big, I pull away at the root and I then repot.
The satisfaction that gives
and
me.
And then when you see that thrive, I'm taking it's better than sex. It's more than sex.
We are so boring.
We're so middle-aged.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. And gardening, just generally, just anything to do with getting my fingers in
the
pit.
Not in the winter, I don't. I hate the garden in the winter. But now that the weather's, I would say it's starting to pick up. It's grey again today. What a fucking surprise.
But no, the life is starting to come back into the garden. Yeah, I did something. Last October, I think, I got those massive raised beds. And I did a bulb lasagna, which I've never heard or seen of.
Is that a thing?
It's a thing. So you plant bulbs, different types of bulbs, in layers, like you would layer up a lasagna.
Yeah.
And I did it in October and didn't really think much about it. Laura, it is absolutely stunning.
Oh,
it's
my
going
God.
To look so beautiful. I've got...
Do you know the thing that upsets me about bulbs, though?
Yeah.
Is that it's beautiful for about 10 days and then it fucking dies?
Well, no, because I went for things that are longer lasting. So the tulips don't last that long.
But they're pretty.
What are they called? The alliums, they last ages.
Alliums. Oh, Jesus.
Alliums. Oh, look at my...
Nailing plants.
Oh, my God.
What's
that whole smell become? It looks so stunning, but it's quite a cheap way to create something really dramatic, I think. Because if you bought those all as plants, it'd be well expensive.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like in Asda, this is so boring. Asda did.
I think I'm happy anymore.
Sometimes I listen to gardeners. Well, do you know that?
No, please tell me that's a joke.
Oh, I do. I like, because I wouldn't tune into it, but if it was on the radio when I happened to put the radio on, I would listen to it because I find it quite soothing.
Right.
Because it's like so boring. But yeah. Also I'll be like, oh, that's a very interesting little fact there. I might actually take that tip and apply it to my garden.
Oh, God. What have we become?
Do you know what I planted? So when my dad died, Laura sent me a really beautiful present. But she sent me it was a pot with the little bits of paper that had seeds in it. So yesterday, me and Edith, we planted it.
Ah,
set to
lovely.
Plant it in the spring. So we planted that and we've got it on the windowsill. So let's watch it grow, baby. See,
oh,
we've been
lovely.
Into this for far longer than we actually admitting here because, you know, you sent me that a long time ago.
I am getting, well, when your dad died, funnily enough.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, dear.
Can we also acknowledge the fact that when people listen to this, it's Easter holidays?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because we're like really far ahead on records at the moment. We'll be off now doing things with our children, probably.
Yay.
You're not going to
I don't have the fucking car either.
Oh, shit, yeah. And Steve's doing that.
Bollocks.
He's doing his job, isn't he? So
Steve's changing his job. So he's moving job, which I'm very happy about. But initially, it's going to require him taking the car. So we're going to be bike wankers.
Mate, bike wankers.
How much do you want to bet? Because right now I'm sat here on my high horse going, that's right. What we're going to do, boys, is we're going to get our bikes out every day and we're going to go somewhere. I'm going to hire a car. I will fucking put money on it. Yeah. I'll hire a car. I've got the brain strain of a fucking Kit Kat.
But it's easier. It's just easier. I know it's also the environment.
It's expensive. It's not the environment. Yeah. The environment, obviously.
Listen, actually, we've got the house plants. It's all about balance, all right? Okay.
But like to hire a car for a week, it's only 100 quid.
Yeah, for the sake of your sanity and like getting, because you'll want to get out and do shit as well.
Well, also next week, so Steve starts his job next week and the dawning realisation of going, oh my God, fuck, I've got to ride the boys to and from school every day, rain or shine.
Oh, you're joking. God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because he starts next week, so that's it. I said,
but he doesn't have the car forever though.
No, when I then go on tour, that's when he'll be then have work from home, basically.
Sure, okay.
So, and then we'll be back to normal. But basically, I don't go on tour until May. So just to surmise.
That's quite a while.
How long I won't have the car
I suppose
for.
2 weeks is 2 weeks of that is holiday.
Yeah. I'm going to try. At this point, I'm like, I don't need a bike. I don't need a car. And I'm like, well, we could just hire a car for a week and then just have 1 week of biking and guarantee by the end of it, I'll just fucking have a car for 2 weeks and pay for it.
Do you have that zip car near where you live? Because that used to be great. You can just hire it by the hour.
Really?
Yeah, have a look into it. You just hire a car by an hour and you just go, it's all in an app and it unlocks the car for you. And then it's like 10 quid an hour or something to hire it. So it might work out cheaper to do that if you're not going to use a car every single day.
Oh my God, I've never heard that.
It's called Zipcar. They're all over London, but I don't know what it's like outside of London.
It's probably great in London. It's shit here.
Yeah, there might not be one for miles around because of, whatever reason. But have a look. It's worth looking at.
Zipcar, that's really good.
Right. Anyway. I think we can round up now, mate.
Yeah, I'm sure we can as well.
All right. Okay. All right then. If you want to send us any stories, any ragtimes, any confessions, anything, whatever you want to say to us, you can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. What else can they do, Laura?
Well, they can just go on over to Instagram and find us at noholdsbarredpodcast and slide on into our DMs.
That's it. That's all you got to do, guys. It's as simple
as PMA there.
That. PMA.
A little bit of PMA, positive mental attitude. Oh, do you good, not know okay. that? PMA?
Probably. I've just forgotten it.
Probably.
I don't remember anything. Hope you're all surviving the Easter holidays. Jesus Christ.
Have you heard about the fact that they're talking about reducing the summer holidays to 4 weeks?
Are they really?
They're not going to, but they've talked about it.
But then I've got really mixed feelings about it. I see the purpose of them. I think it's a lot for kids to, they need the break, but maybe if it was more spread out and there was like.
The biggest issue that I have is the fact that it's 6 solid weeks and what our children have a lot of privilege in that they have a parent like you and I, they have a parent at home. Obviously we're having to shuffle around our work to fit around them. But they have that luxury, whereas there are so many parents that don't have that. Everybody
has to work.
9-to-5
job or whatever, it's just impossible, isn't it? Yeah. I totally get it. And I just feel that education weirdly does not align at all with working life when
education doesn't actually align with anything of any fucking use.
Yeah, I know, so true.
Learn how to play fucking ping pong. How about you teach my son how to change the oil in a car?
I'd love that. That would be so good. School of
Do
life.
You know what I mean?
That's what we
it
need.
It is school of life. Like it was like you and I have just literally said, neither of us are particularly academic.
No.
But you know what? We're doing all right in life without it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't remember anything that I learned in school. Really don't. Anything like random. Like I just don't remember anything that I did in school other than the creative stuff because that's what I was interested in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was, but wasn't always very good at it, like art, but I was terrible. I don't know why I took GCSE art.
Yeah, I wasn't particularly good at art, to be fair. I didn't like my teachers, though. That was my problem. If I took a dislike to the teacher, it was over.
Same.
Such a stubborn girl.
Yeah.
Don't know where my daughter gets it from.
One day she'll be great.
Yeah,
just
one day.
You've got to get to that one day before she kills you.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, please be tomorrow.
Please. All right, then, Sags. We will see you next week.
See you next week. Take care. Love you. Bye.